Well, welcome back to another week as we walk through the book of Esther. And today we're going to pick up in chapter 4. And if you remember where we left off last week, we saw how the king has now sent out, well, Haman really sent out this decree under the name of the king that is going to eliminate, completely wipe out the Jews in 11 months. So remember, the countdown is kind of beginning now. They're at the beginning of the year, and they know, okay, in 11 months, this day is coming when all the Jews and all the entire empire is going to be wiped out. And we always have to remember that Mordecai is a Jew and Esther is a Jew. But we also have to remember that in this empire is Jerusalem, where the rest of the Jews are that returned home. So the countdown begins. So now the story really picks up from here. And so we're going to begin in chapter 4, verse 1. So we saw where the city was thrown into confusion because of this decree that was sent out and read. And so everybody now knows what's coming. So chapter 4, verse 1. It said, when Mordecai learned all that had been done, meaning the decree that was sent out, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city, and he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. And this is was the natural Hebrew reaction to essentially bad news or tragedy. We see that all through the Old Testament, where they would tear their clothes, they would put on sackcloth and ashes and mourn. And so Mordecai's actually having a Jewish response here to what is happening or to what he's heard. And so he goes out into the midst of the city. So he's out where people can see him. And he's just mourning and letting out a loud and bitter cry. And look at verse 2. It says, he went up to the entrance of the king's gate, for no one was allowed to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And in every province, wherever the king's command and his decree reached, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and lamenting, and many of them lay in sackcloth and ashes. So here we see Mordecai, even though he was being very secretive about who they were, we can see that he is mourning and responding as a Jewish person, because all throughout the entire empire, the kingdom, the Jewish people are doing this. They're mourning, they're weeping, they're in sackcloth, they're in ashes. And notice he goes right up to the king's gate. He can't enter in with the sackcloth and ashes on, but he goes right up to the king's gate because he knows what's going on. He knows, you know, as far as he knows, this was put out by the king. And so as a king's official, that's where he would have been anyway, was at the king's gate. So now he goes up to the king's gate and he's just mourning what has happened. So look at verse 4. So when Esther's young women and her eunuchs came and told her, the queen was deeply distressed. So they came and told the queen what had happened and that there's this man out there that's weeping. And so look at what she does. The queen was deeply distressed. She sent garments to clothe Mordecai so that he may take off his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. So notice what she's doing. He's mourning, and he's making, as far as her, she looks at it, he's making a spectacle of himself, and he's doing this, and he's dishonoring, you know, he's not supposed to be near the king's palace like this. And so when she hears about it, her response is not to go find out what's wrong, not to send a messenger to see what's going on or see how she can help or why is he responding like this. No, her response is to send him more clothes. You need to cover up. You need to quiet down. You need to, you know, act normal is her response to this. And so, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but let's keep reading. Verse 5. It says, then Esther called for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs who had been appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn what this was and why it was. So she wants to know, okay, why did you not accept my clothes? Why are you acting like this? And why are you acting strange? Why are you acting so outwardly and mourning and all this? So I don't know why she didn't do that first. But then verse 6, Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. And then Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her and command her to go to the king to beg his favor and plead with him on behalf of her people. So we're going to stop right there. So apparently Esther doesn't know what the king has decreed. And so her response is just not understanding why Mordecai would act like this. And so there's a couple things here that I want us to think about. Notice her response, her first response to Mordecai's mourning and outward distress and despair that he's having. Her answer is to cover up and to clean yourself up, you know, get dressed, don't act like that. And so what I want us to think about is a couple things here in this these first few verses of this chapter is, how do we respond when we get bad news or when tragedy happens? How do we respond in our lives? Are we like Mordecai, where we go into mourning, where we go into weeping and sackcloth and ashes? And we have to understand, this is nothing like our culture today, but this way, we see this through the Old Testament. And when the people of Israel did this, it was a cry out to God. It was a humility thing. It was a mourning, a sadness, a way of trying to make things right. It was, this is them just really laying themselves out and saying, you know, this is tragedy. It's out of our control. And a lot of times they would weep with sackcloth and ashes and fast and things like that as a response to, hey, God, we want you to hear us. Now, again, in Esther, we never see God's name given here, but we see that Mordecai is responding like the other Jewish people in the empire, and he is responding with sackcloth and ashes, with mourning. And so he is crying out to, essentially, his response is a cry out to God. Now, again, we never see him say that, but there's this humility here of, all right, something's got to happen, right? And so I want us to think about, how do we respond when tragedy happens? Now, so Mordecai seems to be in mourning, and he's trying to call out for God to help him because this is out of his hands. But notice what he does then is he sends word to Esther to get word to the king. So one way that we see Mordecai responding that we shouldn't do is we see him going to the king rather than praying. And so he's trying to kind of maneuver a way around this to try to get this rescinded. But we know from previous verses in here that once it goes into effect, it can't be rescinded. But notice, instead of praying, again, because he's not praying to God, he's trying to work through Esther to get to the king. He's trying a different way to try to fix it. And so what is our response to when that tragedy happens? Do we go into mourning? Do we call out to God? Do we cry out to him? Do we seek him, or do we try to fix things on our own? Because that seems to be the way Mordecai is trying to go. He tends to have a correct posture here of humility and really lowering himself before God, but yet he still doesn't pray to God. He wants to go through human means to get there. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in the next video on Thursday. But how do we respond to tragedy? Because we need to humble ourselves. We need to cry out to God. We need to trust him, because there's so many things in our life that that we want to try to fix ourselves. And a lot of times what I've seen in my life is that it usually doesn't work. And a lot of times I just make it worse. And I've delayed just trusting God and allowing him to work either through me or through somebody else. And so I want us to consider that today, this idea of tragedy and things like that. And then stepping out a little bit broader here, let's think about it this way. When you think about this day, like the day is coming where, or at least it's been scheduled, that the Jewish people are going to be wiped out. They're going to meet their end. we also have to remember as Christians, as believers, that God has a plan for the end of days, right? There's an end times plan. We're all going to reach a day where we all have to step out into eternity, whether it's because Jesus comes back or whether we die before he comes back. Whichever one, we're all appointed a day where we're going to face, we're going to stand before God. And what matters is what we did with Jesus. Either he's going to be our Lord, or either on that day we're going to have to acknowledge he's Lord. But you know, it's going to happen for all of us. And what I think we have to remember is that we can't be like Esther here, because Mordecai is crying out, and he realizes, wow, there's a day coming. Like, we could die. The end of my life is coming, as far as they're concerned. They know, okay, in 11 months, this thing, you know, my life's coming to an end. And what he does is he cries out for help to somebody, being Esther here. And notice Esther says, hey, focus on this. Get yourself cleaned up. Let me get you some clothes. Stand up. Don't act like that. Act differently. And I wonder if we as Christians sometimes lose sight of that when there's people around us who are hurting, they're broken. There's things in life that happen. There's people that have tragedies. And I wonder how many times we as believers, who should be pointing them to God, instead we want to tell them, hey, fix yourself, fix this, focus on this, do this to make you happy, do this to deal with your sadness. And they're probably not necessarily bad things, but what we're doing is we're essentially being like Esther and saying, hey, here's some clothes, clean yourself up, take care of that. That's really what's going to help you. And we lose the opportunity to build a bridge and share the gospel with people that are hurting and they're broken and they're lost. And so I want us to think about that tragedy in our own lives, but also how we can use those, and we don't exploit them. I'm not saying anything like that. We're not trying to exploit tragedy, but anytime that you hear people talking about brokenness and feeling lost and feeling alone and feeling empty, not having fulfillment, really struggling with life or their purpose, anything like that is an opportunity to not try to fix them with something that's human or temporary, but using that as an opportunity to talk about, let me tell you about lasting hope or purpose, where your purpose comes from, or how you can never be alone, or how you can be restored. Things like that that can be the perfect bridge, or not a perfect bridge, but a good bridge to share the hope of the gospel with them. And so in that time, in that brokenness, in that pain, in that hurt, God could redeem it for their good and for his glory. So there's two kind of applications as we kind of finish this up, or these first eight verses. From a personal standpoint, when we deal with tragedy, who do we run to? But then secondly, when those people that are around us are hurting, how do we help them? Yes, there's times where we do need to help them with physical things. I'm not saying we don't do that, but in doing that, make sure to build that bridge, to point them to the hope that we have in Christ, because that's really the only thing that's going to be lasting for them. And so we look for those opportunities, we pray for those opportunities, and allow the Spirit to work. But he puts us in those situations and around those people sometimes because he wants us to be the means to give them that hope, to point them to Christ. And so that's something for you to think about today and pray about. And I pray that that's been encouraging to you and will help you both in your life as well as those that God has put around you, so that you can be a light of the gospel to them. So God bless you, and we will see you again on Thursday. Y'all have a good day.